Well, good morning this morning. Yes, and this morning I would like to share about prayer. There it is. I don't know what, there it is. Prayer, by all means, there's no way I can cover everything about prayer this morning. There is absolutely no way. But there is something that has stood out to me about prayer. And some of the things I hear as I talk with people, it's like, They're praying for things, they're asking for things, and they can't understand why God don't answer, or where is God, or what is going on. And I just hope to clarify some of them things through what the Apostle John has to say this morning. I have a story here I want to read real quick about where is God. Two little boys, ages 8 and 10, were excessively mischievous. They were always getting into trouble, and their parents knew all about it. If any mischief occurred in their town, the two boys were probably involved. And the boy's mother heard that a preacher in town had been successful in disciplining children, so she asked if he would speak with her boys. The preacher agreed, but he asked to see them individually. So the mother sent the 8-year-old first in the morning with the older boy to see the preacher in the afternoon. The preacher, a huge man with a booming voice, sat the younger boy down and asked him sternly, "Do you know where God is?" The boy's mouth dropped open, but he made no response, sitting there wide-eyed with his mouth hanging open. So the preacher repeated the question in an even sterner tone, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer, and the preacher raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face and bellowed, "Where is God?" And the boy screamed and bolted from the room and ran directly home and dove into his closet, slamming the door behind him. And when his older brother found him in the closet, he asked, "What happened?" And the younger brother, gasping for breath, replied, "We're in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." I couldn't help that one. That was good. "They think we did it." Well, this morning, the whole concept of prayer, I think I get the right clicker here. I'm not sure which one. Do you have any idea? Oh, that might be it. There we go. One of these will make it go here eventually. No? I'm not sure. I don't know. Just go ahead, and I guess if you can forward it, I can't seem to. This is not operating unless it's a battery. Do you want to take it back there and see if he can get it to work and then bring it up? Anyway, this morning, if you just pass through them, yeah, when should I pray? How should I pray? All these different concepts come to mind as we think about prayer. Why should I pray? Does God hear my prayer? I think there's another one there. Will my prayer be answered? These are all legit questions that people ask about prayer. And then, first of all, what is prayer? And before I get into the meat of this here, what I want to talk about prayer, I would like to have all the children come forward again. And we'll come up over here. They can sit on the floor. Let's go from... Okay. Thank you. All the children, let's say from 12 on down, however young you want your children to come up here, I'd like to share something with the children about prayer. Some of them that have been in school like 2 years ago, I think, would have seen this. I did this in school one time. You can come right over here. That's okay. Sure. Sure. There's room over here yet. There you go. There you go. All right. All right. Look at all these children. You know, the... Thank you. There's something setting there. I want to read a story first, and about two men in the Bible that Jesus told this parable. Let me see if I can get it up here, and the parents can follow along. Okay, it's in Luke 18. Verses 9 through 14. And this, by the way, is in the Message, and that is not a translation of Scripture. It is literally a paraphrase. It's just so nobody gets confused with that when I use things from the Message. It's a paraphrase. So the story of the tax man and the Pharisee. How many of you ever heard of the story of the tax man and the Pharisee? Do you ever hear how they went to pray? Do you know what happened? Do you? Let's talk about that then here. We'll start it. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. We don't do that, do we? We wouldn't look down our noses at someone else, no. Or become complacently pleased with ourselves in our moral performance. And Jesus said this, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this, Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid like this tax man. Why, I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income. What does that sound like? Pretty arrogant. He sounds like thinks he's got it all figured out. Verse 13 says, Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. Jesus commented, This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. Okay? Then in 1 Timothy, the Bible tells us that the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. Now I'm going to skip some of this here and we're going to go to the little graph I have here. See the hand up here? As you take your hands and you put them together, everybody just put your hands together like this here. What's closest to you? What finger, or is it your thumb? You can't call your thumb a finger. But your thumb is the closest to you, right? So we're going to talk about how to pray and what things to pray for by using our hand like that there. As you think of your hand together, you got your thumb. And your thumb, if you think of your thumb as closest to you, okay, that you would think about praying for family members. They're the people that are closest to you, right? Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. Those that are closest to you. So your thumb would represent family members. Isn't that good? You'll be able to remember family members when you think about your thumb, when you have your hands together in prayer. Okay, the next one is a pointer. What would we do with our pointer finger? Who would we pray for with a pointer finger? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody? How about ministry and teachers? Those who point you to the Father. And this could also be your dad. I'm not saying that. But ministry and teachers, Sunday school teachers, your school teachers, your ministry, they point you to the Father. They point you toward heaven. So as you think of your pointer finger, think of those that point you to the Heavenly Father. And then you have your tallest finger. What would we pray for with our tallest finger? If we would think about our tallest finger, who would be the tallest people we could think of? How about authority and government? Government and the people like the President of the United States, those types of people that have authority, they have lots of responsibility. We need to remember to pray for them. They're the tallest people in our land. And as we think of them people, the governors and presidents and stuff like that, we need to pray for them. The Bible does ask us to pray for the rulers of our land. And then we have our weakest finger. What will we pray for with our weakest finger? Any ideas? Think of something? How about sick and afflicted? Those that are sick because they're weak. If they're sick, they're weak. And as you think of your weakest finger, you can pray for those that are sick. And then what about, last but not least, your little pinky? What would go in line with that as you think of the last thing you should think of as you pray? It is you and your needs. If we could put ourselves last and put others first, that's how we should pray, to remember our needs first. But isn't it so easy sometimes that we want to start praying and we want to ask God for our needs and what we want and forget about everybody else? But if we put our hands together like this here and we think about all them things that we can pray for, then our needs will be last. And then we won't be selfish. We won't have to think of our own needs first. Okay? I have something I want to hand out. Carson, why don't you hand these out to him quick? I have that diagram on a printout here. And if anybody else wants one of them, they can have it. And just hand it out to the children here, Carson. And you can hang that on your, in your bedroom if your mom lets you put it somewhere. Don't stick it on the wall without asking. Maybe on the refrigerator with a magnet, because I know that don't mess up the wall. All right. Then I want to just have a word of just a prayer of blessing on you all as you think about what you pray about. But my prayer this morning for you all is a prayer of blessing that as you grow up, you would continue to be strong leaders, because you guys are the next generation of the church. And as you present and think about how you can pray for other people, this is the one way that you can think about it, okay? So let's all get real quiet. Can we all get real quiet? Bryson? Can we all get quiet? Let's all get quiet and close our eyes, and we're going to just, I just want to ask a prayer blessing on you all. God, we come to you and I thank you so much for these dear children. God, I pray a blessing on them, and as they continue to walk and to seek out your will for their lives, God, would your name be lifted up? Would you be glorified through their lives? And God, that they would be, just committed to serve you all the days of their life. Lord, we just lift them to the throne of grace this morning and ask that blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all can go back to your parents, okay? Thank you. You guys sound very good. All right, this morning, one of the things I want to talk about this morning is I just basically want to go through some scriptures that have to do with prayer. And it's prayer promises in Scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:11-18. And I'm going to ask you to turn to that in your Bibles. There is some very, very interesting things in there that I would like you to see. And if you have your own Bible, I don't know if you write in your Bibles or if you mark your Bible. My Bible is all marked up. Eventually, I might have to get another one, because after a while it gets hard to see. Sometimes in my schusslichness, I cross words out, trying to underline something. But 2 Chronicles 7, starting at verse 11, it says, "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night, and then he said, 'I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices.'" Now, I want you to think about this. This was in the Old Testament. And he says, "I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for my sacrifices." The Old Testament, God had a temple that he came where he would dwell in. Now, today, our temple is our body. And I want you to think about this as you think of your own body. "I have heard your prayer." Think of God saying this to you. "I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen your body for myself as a temple for my sacrifices." He wants to live his life. You know, the greatest thing of Scripture is God, in all his glory, he longs so much to live his life holy, perfect, completely without blemish through you and I. He longs that. When he created human beings, he created them to have a relationship with him. Now, God so much desires to live his holy, perfect life through each one of us. But there has got to be something that has to happen before he can do that. And that is that every one of us must die. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking our selfishness. We have got to die to our own selfishness, to our own wants, me, I, everything about ourselves. We have got to die and say, "God, not my will, but your will be done." It's not about us. It's not about us. It's all about God. And he so longs to live his life through you so that his name will be glorified. Not yours, not mine. Nobody's here. But it's all about God. He so much desires that. And I wonder sometimes, as I think of God, a holy God sitting on a royal throne, and I imagine in my own life the downfalls and the struggles in my own life, how can he possibly use human beings? Because he so longs to be glorified through living his life through each one of us. Verse 13 says, "When I," and God's saying this, "when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, when I," and this is not in there, but I'm just going to put it there, and I want you to hear it from God, "when I command locusts to devour the land, or when I send a plague among my people, Can God do that? He can do all these things. He can shut up the heavens so there's no rain. He can command the locusts to devour the land. Or he can send a plague among his own people, you and I. Then he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then verse 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I want you to get that, because a lot of times we hear the verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. And people say, well, I've done all that. And I work in prison sometimes, and it's like, you hear that a lot, and they say, well, I've done all that. God don't hear me. How much have we given up of ourselves to allow God to live His life through us? How much have we really given up of ourselves to allow that? Because verse 15 says, then, or now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And I want you to think of that. This place, again, he's talking about the temple, and he's talking about our own bodies. I mean, he's talking about the temple in the Old Testament, but today that is our own bodies. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will always be there. Now, verse 17 is a catch. It says, as for you, if you walk before me as David your father did and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. And I want you to think about that. You shall never fail to have a man that will rule over Israel. When he said that to his chosen people, today the Christians are his chosen people, and he says, we will still today never fail to have a man to rule over Israel, and that was Jesus Christ. We will never fail to have that man. He will rule over God's people. I think it's exciting. Coming from the Old Testament of the physical aspect of things in the temple, to take it to the spiritual aspect in the New Testament. Psalms 145, 18 through 19 says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. Now, there again, the Lord is near to all those who call on Him and to all who call on Him in truth. I don't think this is talking so much about, we talk about truth, untruth. We talk about, oh, that's a lie. No, that's real. No, that's not. This truth, if I got it correct, is talking about faith, belief. Do we truly believe, or do we just say, well, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but you know, or do we really believe? Is He Lord of our life? Has He been Lord of our life? Is He only Savior of our life? Is He Lord? He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. And listen, today across the land, I hear this over and over and over. There is so much happening in America that people are no longer fear God. And we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson a bit this morning. People no longer fear God. We say, by His grace, everything just, there's no longer a fear of God. And I'm not talking an unrighteous fear. I'm talking a righteous fear. A fear to know that God is the ruler of all. He is a loving Father. Yes, He is Abba Father. But He is also a judge. He is also going to judge. And every one of us will give an account. He hears their cry and saves them. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Just some of the things I think of with them verses. When we really cry out to God, how much do we really give up of ourselves? As we really pray. I know I don't enough. I'll be honest with you. I don't spend the time to really cry out. There's times that it's like, you know, it's just dry. And listen, it doesn't matter. I want to make this very clear. It doesn't matter. I see people that will just fall on their knees and they'll cry before God, but their heart is not there. Their heart is not there. Listen, if we are for real, can our spirit connect with God's spirit to the place where we can't even utter a word? Because as you pray, I want you to think of something. As you pray, it's not about you. God so much wants to live through Him, through you. See, God lives for God. And if we can get this picture, God lives for God. God doesn't live for you and I. He doesn't even exist for you and I. He lives for himself. And he created you and I to also live for him. It has nothing to do with us. I shouldn't say that. Understand what I mean. Our pleas of prayer should be God calling to himself, if that makes any sense. Our plea in a prayer should be God calling to himself, because therefore we are crying out, asking for God's will to be shown, not ours, not what we want. John, let's see if I can figure this out. I thought I had it. John, yes. John 14, 11 through 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, and listen, that faith in me, anyone who has faith in me means to trust and obey. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Anyone who has faith in me, it's not just saying that, oh yeah, I know that Jesus is Son of God. I've heard that story from little on up. I understand all that. No. Do you really believe? How do you trust him with everything about you? Are you willing to lay your life down for him? Are you willing to just say, God, not my will, but your will be done in every situation of life? I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. We see them bracelets all the time that say, well, it's not as popular anymore. At one time, it was really popular. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Okay, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. What is that? We have to know the word. We have to know this. So if we're going to pray and we're going to cry out in prayer, we're going to have to know the word. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. It has nothing to do with us. It's not about bringing glory here. It's not about, maybe not even about, our so-called answered prayers. Is it not about Jesus honoring and glorifying God? Is he not teaching us that it's about Jesus wanting to live, God wanting to live his life through us? God wanting to live his life through each one of us, that we become broken bread, that we become, lay ourselves on the altar and say, God, here I am. Send me. Can we understand that in our prayer life? That if we would just say, God, I don't even know what you want, but God, seeking that out to say, God, I want it to be your way. It's so easy for me to get on my knees and cry out to God and say, I want this, or, oh, I wish this would happen, or I pray for this, or I want to see something happen here. And them kind of prayers tend to be all about what I want instead of about what God wants. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't ask for things. Here's the message on that John 14. It says, believe me, I am in the Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe that you see these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I, on the way to my Father, am going and giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. So it's a work that he has been giving us to do, if we can see it in that way. And it's not about just us asking God for these things. It's the work that he's been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I will do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I will do. So here's the deal. What I see in this here is that there's so many times we think, well, Jesus says that if I ask, it's going to happen. So if it don't happen, then obviously I don't have enough of faith. And we try and measure our types of, we try and get measurements of faith. How much faith do I got? No. Yes, it takes faith. But it takes as much faith to bring healing and to answer prayer, as much faith, the same amount of faith it takes to know and to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, victorious over sin, hell, death, and the grave. That same faith is the same faith it takes to pray these prayers of faith, to pray in faith, to understand that. It's the same faith. It's nothing special. It's not something that's given to somebody that's just special, that's different. Listen, that same faith, if we have that same faith in Jesus, he said, we will do these things. You can count on it from now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing. It's all about who Jesus was and what he was doing. That's how the Father will be seen for who He is in the Son. Does that make any sense at all? It's not about who we are. That's my biggest point I want to bring out this morning through these verses. It's not about who we are. It's more about who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Who is God to you? That's what's most important. Not about who we are. So many times we want to look at it as who we are in Christ. We want to measure how spiritual we are. We want to measure how much faith we got. We want to measure all these things. And if we would stop and put that on a shelf and say, God, no, I want to know who You are in my life. Who are You? Who are You? That's where we find our place. That's where we find who we are. It's not about who we are to God. It's about who God is to us. If we could see it in that perspective, I think we would see a whole difference in prayer life. I really do. John 15 also says, it's John 14, 15, and 16. All had verses to do with this whole idea of prayer. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, and I want you to catch that. It didn't start out the other way around. He says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And again, there it is again. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It will be given you. And it's not about us saying, oh, that man's got great. He's so great. I want that man to pray for me because, you know, no, listen. This is to my Father's glory. It's not to anybody's glory here. Oh, I wish that we all could pray like this. Don't get me wrong. I wish that we all could be broken and just being able to call out like this here and be that type of person that can recognize who Jesus is in us, not who we are in this world. I'm going to read that in the message, the paraphrase again. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood gathered up, thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who He is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. My prayer is that I don't discourage anybody through this here, but this has been something that I've been pondering for a long time. Understanding prayer, these actual verses in Scripture here on prayer. And the whole thing that God keeps showing me is that so many times when we want to do this here and we want to cry out to God, we want answers and we want healing for this person, we want to do this, we are doing it in our own strength. We are not connected. We are not connected with the Father to start with. And with that, there is no answered prayer. There is nothing. It's void. It's just void of understanding. And don't get me wrong. I believe an unsaved man in his prayer, God will hear him and draw him to himself. You know, God draws him to himself. But what Jesus is talking about here, I really believe we need to be connected. Do we have an intimate relationship with the Father to even know how to ask, to even recognize that it's not about us, it's all about God? John 16 also says, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now I want to read this right away in the message, in the paraphrase. This is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things that I've revealed to you. Ask in my name, according to my will, and He'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Now listen, the one thing I think of right away is that how do we know what God's will is? If we are not in the Word and we are not intimate with God and having time of prayer and searching and seeking. How do we know what God's will is? How do we know that, you know, how do we know what God's will is if we're not close, if we're not talking, if we're not sharing, and if we're not intimate? How would you know your spouse if you don't talk? I'm giving myself away there. I had an experience on Wednesday night. No, we won't talk about that. How do you know if you're not communicating? I better say that one now. Wednesday night at the members' meeting, those of you that weren't here, I was giving out some dates, and you know, my wife sat there going, "You never asked me," and it was like, "Oh," and you know what? I really believe there is times that's exactly what God's saying. When we are sitting there praying for someone, I'm praying for healing for Eric if he would be sick. I'm not saying he's sick. I'm just saying if he would be sick and we'd be praying for Eric for healing, I could just picture God standing there saying, "You never even asked me. You never even connected with me first. You never even sought out what my will would be in this. It's all about what you want. You're the one that wants Eric healed." Is that not how we pray? Our own selfish ways? Listen, we know that God did never want sin to enter this earth. We know that He never wanted that. He didn't want that from the beginning, but He knew it was going to happen. We know, a lot of times we'd say, you know, well, we know His will. He wants healing for everybody. Yes. But earlier on we read a verse that says, if I choose to bring these types of things on my people, see, God can do that to anybody. He said, then, if we can recognize it, if we can recognize that we need to have that relationship, we can call out to God. Can we connect with God first before we cry out and ask for whatever it is we're asking for? Can we really do that? My prayer is that as we think about praying, and as we think about crying out to God, as we think about answered prayer, we think about why we don't see miraculous things and why some of these things aren't happening here. You know, you often hear about that here in America. I really believe that we have come lax in building a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have come so lax that we don't even know what it's like. We just live our life thinking, well, I'm a Christian, and well, I spend my 2 minutes in prayer before I go to bed and get up in the morning and thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. We go through our life and I'm a Christian, so I'm okay, and we don't have that connection. And all of a sudden, oh, so-and-so's sick. I'm going to go lay hands on him and pray for him, and nothing happens. Why? There is no connection with the Father. I could just hear God saying that. It's all about God. It's not about us. It's all about God. 1 John 5 says this, 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Listen, here's the catch that I would like to leave with everyone. Verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Do we have the relationship that we need to have to know this is the confidence we have in approaching God? Do we know that we have that confidence in approaching God? Do we even have a relationship? How is it with your dad? When you think about it, you want to go do something, and you go ask your dad. Do you have a relationship with your dad that you're not afraid to go ask him? Oh, he might say no. Is that okay? If dad says no, is it okay? Right? Not always, right? Jess, no, not always. It's not always right. It's not always okay with you. But guess what? That's how it is with God also. Sometimes He says no. That is not His will. He is maybe doing something for a particular reason in someone's life. And we're here on our side of it saying, oh, I'm praying for this and this and this and this and this to happen to that person's life. And God's saying, no. You didn't even seek my face first. You didn't even cry out to me first to know what my will is. Can we understand that? It's all about God. And it is up to Him what He wants to do. Does that mean we don't pray and ask? No. No. I think we need to intercede. I really do. But we need to recognize the whole concept that I'm trying to cry out this morning to everyone is the idea that prayer is not just from me to hear. It's about God coming through us and going back to God. That's the concept. If we can get that picture, God wants to live His life through each one of us and back to Him. That's a beautiful prayer. Because if we understand the Father and we allow Him to live through us and He can go back to the Father, that is beauty. If we can get that picture as we pray. Because therefore, we won't be praying, we won't be starting our prayers here with us. We'll be starting our prayers with a relationship with God right here. And then God's relationship comes through us, His life, and it goes back to the Father. Most of us start our prayers right here from us and want to cry out to God, to the Father, instead of allowing God to live through us first. In closing, turn with me to Psalm 146. And by all means, there is no way I can cover all the things I've been thinking about prayer in one morning. There's just no way. There is so much to prayer. And guess what? You know the greatest thing about it is prayer is our only connection. It's our only connection to the Father that we can cry out in prayer. I want you to hear David here in Psalm 146. And the thing was, 143, 44, 45 all have to do with prayer. David crying out to the Father. And then Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord, who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, and the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And I want you to catch that in them verses. He keeps saying, he recognizes that everything is the Lord. It's not about him. David understands that. It's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. He had a relationship with God. So as God could live his life through him and go back and praise God, David could cry out them prayers because he recognized who he was and who God was that could work through him. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to look into your word and God to help us to understand who you are. God, would you help us be men and women that have a relationship with you and through that can do mighty things that could bring honor and glory to your name again. And it's not about us, but that it will bring honor and glory back to your name. Father, I pray that blessing on everyone this morning. I pray that each one of us could go forward today zealous for good works, zealous to make you known, zealous to just, allow your name, God, to be glorified above all else that we do. Lord, we just cry out to you this morning for that type of relationship for everyone here to understand your purpose, your plan, and your plan of salvation most of all. And that as we pray, we will recognize that it is about your will and about your name being glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.